Amen. You can have your seats. Are you glad to be here? It's on a long weekend, so it's good to see everybody here. Say with me, a fresh anointing. I believe that tonight, I really heard the Lord saying to me that one thing, I'm going to go through through a piece of scripture, but one thing I heard is fresh oil. Say with me, fresh oil. There are, you know, can I have a water that's not cold? Thanks. Say with me again, say fresh oil. There's something that I've been in my spirit the last 2 weeks where and it's very new for me. The sound sounds big on you, so just be patient with me. But I just had this thing, or I heard this with the Lord saying to me that I remember when I got saved, and when I think it was 18 or 19, when I was 18 years old, and a lot of young people got saved around us, and there was kind of like a move of God. But I remember one thing, and even looking back at old revival videos and stuff that God used, men of God like Kenneth Hagin, very powerful. And I remember those times when we got saved, that was for me in 2002. The only desire we had was the anointing and the call of God. Okay, say with me, the call of God. Paul said, I press in towards the call of God. I leave everything behind. When I doubt somebody's, listen, I doubt somebody's relationship with God unless they have a strong desire to advance His kingdom, for the things of the ministry. Are you guys with me? When you get saved, when you encounter God, everything in you will cry out. It's like whether you call to business, maybe professional field or ministry. When I've seen when people really encounter God, touch them, it's like they don't even worry about their daily things. All they want is His presence. Say with me, the call of God. There's a thing by answering the call of God that I've seen so many people miss what God has for them. I've seen people miss it by virtue of marrying the wrong person. I've seen people, and when I say that, we had a marriage seminar, so that's why I'm saying it, but nothing breaks my heart to see two good people married that were never meant for one another. You might disagree, but one thing we taught in the marriage seminar is that if you're going to marry, if you're going to get, especially if you're a young person, make sure you are compatible with that person. God spoke to Adam in the Garden of Eden, and when He was looking for Eve, He said, I found no comparable partner. Are you guys with me? You are silent, that's just okay. Say with you, the call of God. The anointing, one thing I'm praying is for the anointing to fall tonight, but to stir up the call that God has. Listen, the Bible says that Moses was walking past a burning bush, and he was carrying on walking, and then he said, let me turn aside and see this great sight. And when, the Bible says then, when in Exodus 3 verse 5, you don't have to go there, but then God said, the scripture says, when God saw that Moses turned aside, a voice came out of the bush that called unto him, Moses, Moses. When people see something supernatural and they begin to turn and they turn aside, give their attention to God, whether it's in a church service, but God's saying, wait, this person is giving their attention to me. The voice of God will come out with a calling. That was when Moses was called. Are you guys with me? And, but the word specifically says, when God saw him turned, only when God saw, but wait, this guy is serious, looking at something supernatural, then the voice came out, and there's a call of God. Listen, every person that's sitting here has a divine call upon their lives. The only sad thing the only sad thing is many people die with even knowing what the call is, knowing what their purpose is. Let me go to 2 Kings, chapter number 6. So the fresh anointing. And I'm going to speak about restoring. What I mean by when we put on cutting edge anointing, there are seasons that I've seen people lose the anointing. And then there are certain steps that need to be taken to pick it back up. But I can tell you one thing, the last 10 years, 15 years, I have not seen a move of God in this country. I have not. I've seen churches being big in terms of whether it's a seeker-sensitive church or so, and they are big. They don't believe in the anointing and the power of God. People come to a service, listen for a good message, but when it comes to the anointing, they're not hungry for it. Are you guys with me? Put on 6 verse 1, 2 Kings 6 verse 1. I want you just to read. We're going to read through this and just, I want to follow a few steps. Before that, go for me to Deuteronomy 28 verse 1. Listen to this. This is where, I'm just going to throw a few things out. I'm going to get now to 2 Kings. But listen to this. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently, say with me, if, that's a condition, obey the voice of the Lord, your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you, say with me, high above all nations. Say it to me again, say high above all nations. So, you know, when there is greatness that comes, when God, let me say it like this, when God begins to move with a local church, with a people, his desire is to lift you high and to put you above nation. So the greatness. Go to, Philippians 2, Philippians 3. I'm just looking for this. This is not my message. I'm just looking for something. Philippians 3 verse 7. This is where Paul was saying, he was speaking about how, when he encountered Christ, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I count all things, certainly all things, loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, for whom I have suffered the loss, certainly the loss of all things. Listen, Paul is saying something, and count them as rubbish. What he was saying, he said, everything that's behind me, whether it is achievements or accomplishments, or if it's failures, everything I counted as nothing. Paul was trained under one of your top people in the law, if I can say it like this, which was Gamaliel. Are you guys with me? And first, before that, you will see that Paul sat at Gamaliel's feet. When Paul got saved, he made these words about himself. He said, I was perfect in the law. Are you guys with me? Over 600 pieces, 600 laws to fulfill. He said, I was blameless. I was perfect, fulfilling every little area. It's very dead. I don't know if you guys can hear me. I am blameless when it comes to the law. But then he comes here and he says, I count everything as rubbish that I may gain Christ, whether I have achieved anything or whether I have had mistakes. Listen, we misunderstand the word sin. So when, you know, I always hear when people say, I've sinned this and I've messed up there and I made this mistake. Paul realized, he said, I was blameless in the law, and yet I could still not come close to God. It came to a righteousness that's been fulfilled, which means that when people sin, the word sin comes from an archery term in the early century where they would use a bow and arrow in archery, and when they would shoot towards the bullseye, if the arrow misses the bullseye, the person who is running, the person running the competition would cry out and scream and say sin. Are you guys with me? When they hit the mark, he would cry out and say limit. But there's people that are trying to fulfill and try to say, I don't want to sin today. I don't want to make this mistake. we are not, the law was not given so that we can fulfill it. The law was given to show where we are wrong. Are you guys with me? So that when I've tried and said, I don't want to sin this day, I don't want to sin, I've stopped trying to hit the mark. Because there was one who already hit the mark. So if I try to stand and look and shoot an archery by missing the mark. Listen, let me just say it like this. Sin is also not making a mistake here and there. It is missing the mark where you are, where God has a call for you here and you're a little bit right and you're missing the call. That is what sin is. But when you are in Christ, so if I decide I cannot make all these things right, I don't know what to do, according to the law, we are all guilty. But Paul is saying, I step into the person that has hit the bullseye, being in Christ. Are you guys with me? But listen, when I sin, I miss the call, which means that is the word sin. The word transgression is when I go out and I make a mistake. But sin is when I miss the call and the mark of God for my life. When God has called me to be a minister, or God has called me to be a business person to advance the kingdom, or God has called me to whatever calling you have and you're just missing it. I've seen so many people, so many young people missing the call of God because they failed to be on fire. They failed to stir up. Listen, how many of you felt an anointing when we're singing? Anointing like this must be maintained. Are you guys with me? I was preaching somewhere this weekend and I said, when Jesus was walking in the crowd and there was a lady with the issue of blood, she touched his garment. And the Bible said, he said, who touched me? And his disciples said, everyone touched you. What are you talking about? He says, but wait, I felt power going out of me. I felt it leaving my body. The problem with today is we have many believers. They feel the anointing, but they don't go to maintain it so they can be sensitive and feel when it goes or feel when it comes. When you have the anointing upon your life, it is like electricity. But it depends on the wiring of a person, on how much anointing they can carry. Are you guys with me? When we're going to get in service like tonight and we're going to pray for you for a fresh infilling of the anointing. Many people go for 2-3 days and they still feel the anointing upon the presence of God. Suddenly it begins to drop and go less and less and less because they are not maintaining it. Are you guys with me? So let me go carry on reading. It says, I count it as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found, say with me, in him. We're not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. That I may know him. Paul is saying, listen, I'm counting everything that I've accomplished. Where I've known the law perfect. I'm blameless when it comes to the law. Are you guys with me? He said he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Which means that when Paul got saved, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was the best when it comes to fulfilling the law. He said, I do all these things and I count it rubbish for one thing. Number one, that I may know him. Are you guys with me? That word know is to be intimately involved with him. That I may know him. That I may get into my room, get into my house, whether it's late at night or early in the morning, but I can raise my hands, begin to worship him. I can get on my knees and begin to pray. And there's an intimate relationship. Matthew 7 verse 21 says these words. You don't have to go there on the screen. Just keep it where it is. Matthew 7 verse 21 says, Jesus said, many will come to me in that day, saying, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out demons, prophesy, and heal the sick in your name? And Jesus said, depart from me, for I never knew you. Are you guys with me? That word know is, again, having a relationship with God, an intimate relationship. Listen, Paul is saying, I'm leaving everything behind, that I may know him. And number two, the power of his resurrection. And say with me, suffering. There's three things in the Christian life. It's intimacy with God. It's power of the resurrection. Are you guys with me? And number three, it is suffering. And I'm reading this because I want to get to a story, to 2 Kings chapter number 6. Because we can get to a place, you can put 2 Kings chapter number 6 on for me, where we encounter God and have an anointing, carry the presence. But we come to a place of losing it. Are you guys with me? Say cutting edge. Say cutting edge anointing. And the sons, listen, I want to share the story and then we're going to pray for you. But listen to this. There's a lot in here that I can take out. This was a story where Elisha had a school of prophets, which were sons of the prophets. And they were beginning to build the school, cutting down trees to make it bigger, where they are being trained in the prophetic. Are you guys with me? And the sons of the prophets, they were of Elijah, said to him, "See now, the place where we are dwelling with you is too small for us." The next verse. And they asked, they said, "Please let us go to the Jordan and let every man take a beam from there and let us make there a place where we may dwell." I'm going to stop on some words after I read through it. "So if we dwell." So he answered. So Elisha said to them, "Go." Next verse. Then one said, "Please consent to go with your servants." And he answered, "I will go." So Elisha's sons came to him, said, "Listen here, we want to make the place bigger, the school that we are training. Are you guys with me? The church that we are in, the local place, we want to make it bigger." And he said, "But let us go down and make it bigger." And they said, "Elisha, but will you come with us?" And Elisha said, "I will go with you." Next verse. So he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, south of Jordan, they cut down the trees. Next verse. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. So while one of these sons were cutting down the tree, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried out and said, "Alas, my master, for it was borrowed." Are you guys with me? Say with me, borrowed. There's this thing that I'm going to touch on tonight. Say it again, say borrowed. He began to cry and said, I lost the axe head, for it was not mine, it was borrowed. Next verse. So the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" And he showed him the place. So Elisha cut off a stick, threw it in there, and he made the iron float. Next verse. So go back. Say with me, he made. Does it say God? Okay. When we are delegated authority, God is not doing something for us. He's waiting on us to do it. Go to, don't put it on. Luke chapter number 10, verse, let me just check here. When Moses came to the Red Sea, the Bible says that he lifted up his rod and the sea split. Are you guys with me? Luke chapter number 10, I'll read from here. Jesus is saying, Luke chapter number 10, verse 18, he said, "I give unto you," verse number 19, "authority," say with the authority, "to trample, I give unto you so that you can trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." When God gives you authority or an anointing, when Elisha threw in the stick into the water, he made, say with me, he made the iron float. He carried an anointing. He knew he carried an anointing. He knew he carried the power of God. Are you guys with me? Give me 30 people who know that they are anointed. That is where the difference comes. Who knows? Who knows that they carry power? The Bible says that we have been, by the power of God, he has made us sons. Are you guys with me? Without, when Paul said that I may know him, number one, a relationship. The power, number two, of his resurrection. The suffering of him that he went on the cross. Three things. Christianity is about intimacy, about walking in power. Even Paul said to Timothy, listen, those who have a form of godliness, they come to church nice, they sing hallelujah, they lift up their hands, but they deny the power of God. Turn away from such. Are you guys with me? It says he cut off a stick, he threw it in, and he made the iron float. It is time that We have the ability to be in a shopping center or be in a home cell where we are running a cell, and we have our people. Whether you're out in your business, whether you're going to a school, when you lay your hands on somebody, you know, I can give them God. I can transfer the power of God onto them. We go for the next verse. Therefore, he said, listen to this, Elisha said, pick it up yourself. So he reached out his hand. This is now the sons of the prophet. Reached out his hand and he took it. So he took it. This is where he's picking up the anointing. This is speaking of somebody that has lost the anointing and they're picking it up back again. When it comes to them, to an anointing, to a mantle, to the call of God, it has to be dropped on the floor and it has to be picked up. When Elisha was following Elijah, and Elijah went up into heaven, the Bible says that his mantle fell down and fell on the floor. And Elisha picked up the mantle, tore off his old clothes, and put it on him. There must be a picking up. Say with me, a picking up. When the sons of prophets lost the axe head, it was a process that they had to go through. Because first, this was not their anointing. Okay, let me start from, I want to get to the point. Go to verse 1. Say with me, picking up the anointing. Say, restoring the anointing. This is what I heard, that God wants to get us to a place where the anointing is restored. Say with me, cutting edge. The way I called it cutting edge is because an axe head fell. It's an axe has a cutting edge to it. Are you guys with me? Let me go. Number one, how is somebody who qualifies to have the anointing restored upon their lives? Number one, it says the sons, selfish sons, sons and daughters. When people understood fatherhood, it says sons and daughters, and the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, they had to be sons, not disciples. Are you guys with me? Not believers. There's a difference. When Elisha came to with following Elijah, he would call Elijah his master all the time. Until Elijah was taken up. And the Bible says, Elisha looked at him and said, my father, my father. When the words, my father, came out of his mouth, the mantle fell. Are you guys with me? When your perception is, but wait, I must be in a place where there's a spiritual lineage. There's an anointing coming down. An anointing can be manufactured or it can be real. If it is manufactured, it'll do nothing for you. Are you guys with me? See, listen, sons. Number one, these guys were sons and daughters, said to Elisha. They said to him, they came to Elisha, they said, but look, Elisha, the place is where we are dwelling, where we are being trained, it is too small. And I'm not preaching this for the building project, okay? It is a good message. But they had a desire. Those who qualify for the anointing, number one, has a desire to say, I want to make this move of God grow. I want to make this place extended so that people can come and encounter God. And they said, listen here. And they said, see now, the place where we dwell with you is too small. So if we dwell, it's not visiting, okay? We had so many people that leaves the church when they don't get an opportunity within the first month or two. And some of them ask and say, listen, I want to be on the stage and worship. And we just ignore them, or we just say no, and then they've gone into another church. They are not dwelling, they're visiting. God will never put his anointing on someone like that. Are you guys with me? So, where am I? See, now the place where we dwell, this concept, place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Please let us go to number two. Say with me, Jordan. So the first thing that qualifies somebody for the anointing and the restoration of the anointing is number one, association. Number two, say with me, location. Please let us go to the Jordan. They say, listen here, we have this, we have a place where we are right now, but it's small. If we go to Jordan and we make it bigger, there'll be an anointing to make it bigger. Are you guys with me? The word Jordan, what happened at Jordan, number one was where Elijah went up and Elisha threw his mantle down. It was where fatherhood was recognized. When Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan, his father in heaven said, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." If Jesus has to come to Jordan, I don't know if the youth is tired tonight. I don't think we're going to lay hands on them, just on the others. Okay. Jordan. If Jesus had to go to the Jordan for his father to say, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." Are you guys with me? The sons of the prophets, how many years before Christ was on the earth, they knew a principle. They said, "Listen, the place where we are is too small. But if we go to the Jordan, the place where there's a generational anointing, the place where there's a lineage," are you guys with me? Listen, there's a problem with people if they come up and you cannot trace where they are born from. I'm speaking of the anointing. If you see somebody with the church, but you cannot trace where they're getting it from. If they have never served, they do not qualify for the anointing. These sons of the prophets say, "Listen, the place where we're dwelling is small. If we go to the Jordan, we're going to enlarge it." And then they go on. They say, "Let us go to the Jordan, the place of a generational anointing, the place where the mantle is falling, the place of fatherhood. And let every man take a beam from there. And let us make," say with me, "there, a place where we may," they say again, "that we may dwell there." It's not visiting. Are you guys with me? And I'm not saying if you're not in our church, you have to stay there. No. Find a place where the vision of God is. Find a place where somebody has a vision. They say, "Listen here, we're discipling people here. We're training them up." I have been to many churches. I think 98% of churches I've been to cannot give impartation to their people. If I preach in a message, or I always say, I want to say to people, just give us a year of your time. Within 6 months, even earlier than that, you will do what we are doing. Are you guys with me? Otherwise, this message is false. The Bible says that signs will follow, will follow those who believe. Are you guys with me? And we preached on that last time. Listen, they said, "Let us go and let us may dwell there." So Elisha said to them, "You go." Next verse. Then one said, "Please consent to go with your servants." And he answered and said, "I will go with them." Are you guys with me? There is points to how we disciple people. First of all, we show or train them how to do something. Then you let them do it, but you are with them. You go with them. Are you guys with me? That's what he said. And he answered, "I will go." Next verse. So he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they began to cut down the trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. When this guy was cutting, the axe head fell. But he said something. He said, he began to cry, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." So they borrowed. Things that people learned and Christians and believers learned 20 years ago is not taught in the church today, and it's a problem. Number one, that there's a borrowed anointing. Are you guys with me? The first anointing you receive is a borrowed anointing. When Elisha was following Elijah, he was operating under Elijah's anointing until it's what we call the mantle for followership. And when he came to Elijah at the end, when Elijah was taken up and he saw him as his father, the mantle was poured out. Then he began to carry the mantle of leadership to lead on his own. Are you guys with me? This son knew, he said, the sons of the prophets, he knew this anointing that I had, the axe head, the cutting edge, is borrowed. It is not mine. The fact that he knew it makes him qualify for it to be restored. It was, listen, the word "alas" means to cry out bitterly. It means to cry out exclamatory, which means that with an exclamation, with such a cry and bitterness, knowing I've just lost the anointing. And I've seen people move in the power of God, and then when God lifts from them, there is nothing. I've seen young people that got saved with me that would minister to me, that I would look up to, and they're in the world unsaved right now. When I say unsaved, they forsake God. It's not by your works. You just decide to serve Him not anymore. And this son said, listen, this anointing that I just lost was a borrowed anointing. When sons are being trained up, when people are being trained up in a church, it's what we call the borrowed anointing. When you preach on a pulpit, when I used to be trained by Pastor Mark, and I'm still trained by him, when I was in the house, and he was my spiritual father, there was an anointing on me that if I would get pride, or let me say it like this, as soon as I would think it's my anointing, it would drop. And I began to understand, but wait, this thing that I'm carrying was a borrowed anointing. And a borrowed anointing can be lost. Listen, next verse. So the man of God said, where did it fall? And the son of prophet said, showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and he threw it there. And the axe began to float. So they float. You know, let me go back to borrowed anointing. I was watching something on Fox News where, I don't know if you look at what's going on in America, but it was Judge Pirro that said something that shocked me when I looked at it today. And she said about James Comey. I don't know if you guys know the story or not. Not? Hey, okay. There's more things than South Africa. Okay? And he was the head of the FBI director, and he resigned and he got out. And he's a dirty guy. And Judge Pirro said on Fox News, said, James Comey, power is rented. And you have just been evicted from power. And I was listening to this and I was thinking, believers don't understand that power is rented. And it's borrowed. And it can be lost. It is our duty to maintain the anointing on the inside of us. Are you guys with me? Where did it fall? He said, he threw a stick and he made the iron float. But then something powerful happens when we go on. He said these words. Elisha said to him, pick it up yourself. Say with me, pick it up. Myself. Say, I will pick it up. When that son was qualified to say, listen, I'm a son of the prophet. We're working to make the place bigger. Number two and three, we're going to the location of the Jordan where generational anointing is falling down. And we are sensitive where the anointing was lost. He immediately went and said, listen, this thing is borrowed that I've lost. He qualifies to have the anointing picked up. Are you guys with me? Say with me, it's time to pick up the anointing. Say with me, it's time to pick up the call of God. My dream once again. Listen. The word borrowed means this. When he said, I had a borrowed anointing. For the axe head was borrowed. The word borrowed means to beg. It means to earnestly desire. Are you guys with me? It's the Greek word sahal. It means to beg. It means to desire. Earnestly. It means to salute. Which means that if you understand discipline, these are the things that makes one get a borrowed anointing. It means to earnestly beg, to request like a beggar and seek out the anointing, something that's borrowed. The anointing will only come upon sons, daughters, members, disciples, if they understand, but wait, I need to do everything to beg from this anointing. You have to, how can I say it? When Jesus was walking and everybody touched him, but the lady with the issue of blood placed a demand upon him and she touched him and she pulled power out of him. Her touch was different than anybody else. It is possible to be 300 people in this building right now, but for one person only to touch God. And everybody else, listen, it can be possible for everybody else to. It's everybody else can raise their hands, can worship, but not everyone will encounter him because maybe some will know how to pull power out of him. The secret to having a relationship with God is to pull power when you're praying. Whether you are in your in your secret place, in your hiding place, whether you are in your room and you're praying, but you have the ability to get on your knees and say, I'm going to pull power from heaven. I'm going to pull oil from heaven, a relationship with God. Some people can touch him and nothing happens to their lives. Others can touch him and they have testimony after testimony. Others can sit in the same church and have no testimony for a year, while somebody next to them has financial testimony, is getting healed, their heart is changing, bondages are broken off, because they have an ability to pull on God. Hey guys, with me. We've been in churches, I remember the one church we preached at, my team was with me, we were preaching in the church in the morning, and the power of God was everywhere. And we went from that church to another church, a huge church. And I mean, we're the first church, we're praying, you don't even lift up your hand and people are falling all over the place. We went from there to another church, nothing. Nothing. Are you guys with me? You can lay your hands like, people are just standing. And I want to prophesy, I want to do something, but there's nothing. It's just dead. And I'm speaking of thousands. Nobody pulling out anything. The secret to importation, association, not even say importation, to grow, is to, when we pray, to pull on God. When you're in a church, to pull on him. Don't come to a meeting to hear something. Come to a meeting to encounter him. Are you guys with me? Say with me, it is time to pick it up. To pick up the call of God. When I was praying, and even when I was in my office earlier, I heard this with the Lord saying to me that a new season is coming where things are going to be shifted for a fresh anointing. Because I want you to leave this place, go into your house day after day, but you feel a tangible, physical presence on you. And when we lay hands on you, that you can do what we are doing. Are you guys with me? Discipleship is to activate and bring out that you can do exactly us or more what we are doing. Have your seats. Listen. Say with me, a borrowed anointing. The cutting edge, the axe edge, let me say it like this, represents three things. Number one, it means to be on the cutting edge of the anointing. When a person is on the cutting edge, when we say God is raising up somebody on the cutting edge, or somebody in the business world is on the cutting edge, it means that they are a trendsetter. Or wherever they go, they command attention. They command the atmosphere. If they walk into a room, if they speak to people, they command the atmosphere by their words. A cutting edge person is somebody that has allowed themselves to be cut as well. Are you guys with me? It's somebody that's on the forefront in their field of expertise. When I heard this, the Lord saying to me that he wants to raise up people under the anointing, on the cutting edge anointing, it means that you'll be on the forefront of what God is doing. It means that if God does miracles, he starts it with you. Are you guys with me? How is it, have you seen, how is it that Moses, that God would say, I do not speak to Moses like I do with all the other prophets. I speak to him as a friend speaks to a friend. I personally don't believe Moses was fully a prophet. Let me just show you something. And just Google something for me. Google Moses and the prophets. Scripture. I think it is Luke 24. I want to show you something. Because there's something that made Moses walk on the earth where God said, that I am not going to do anything unless I bring it past Moses. Luke 24 verse 27. Put it on the screen. Luke 24, 27. And beginning. Say with me, Moses. And say with me, all the prophets. Here the scripture brings a separation between Moses and prophets. And when you look at Moses, He was an intercessor. Somebody that would intercede on behalf of the people. And God, so much so that God would say, listen, I am not going to do anything with these people unless I run it past Moses. God would say to Moses, get out of my way. Let me go. Leave me alone. Sorry, leave me alone. God said to Moses, leave me alone that I can kill these people. And Moses, I'll give you a few wives and we can make a new nation. Are you guys with me? And Moses says, it is your people. First God says to Moses, listen, Moses, that I can get out of the way that I can kill your people. And then Moses turns around, he's saying, no, listen, this is your people. And you must repent from your anger. How is there that a friend of God, an intercessor, has the ability to where God is in a boardroom meeting, want to make a decision and say, listen, we're going to kill everyone, but let's run it past Moses. Let's get Moses' vote on this thing. And how is it that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three, and Moses is one, say with me, one, and he's sitting in a boardroom meeting of heaven, if I can say it like that. And God said, let us consult with Moses if we must do this. And Moses' vote is more than three others. There's something with a friend, with an intercessor with God, that if you ask God to do something, listen, it's like this. It's Moses married an Ethiopian woman. She was, an Ethiopian woman, and in that law, under the law, you were not allowed to marry outside of your tribe, of your culture, your nation. So Moses went, he took an Ethiopian woman. He was wrong in every area in the law there. Are you guys with me? The people that is closest to him begin to say, listen, you're doing this wrong and this wrong. And the Bible says, and the Lord heard it. And God begins to support somebody that's breaking the whole law and is coming against somebody else that is fulfilling and seemingly doing everything right. The Bible says they were just speaking. They did nothing. They didn't rebel. Are you guys with me? They didn't take people away or left the church. They were just saying something. They were just saying, but can God only speak through him? Is Moses the only one that can hear from God? And the Bible says that God heard it. He says, wait, you're touching my friend here. What is the qualification of a friend? Moses was interceding. When God said, listen, Moses, I want to destroy your people. Moses says, no, repent from your anger. I don't know if you guys understand what I'm saying. Listen, he said, when God is saying, listen, I want to remove somebody, and if they've done wrong, Moses is saying, listen, I'm not going to come against them. I'm going to protect them. God is seeing it as an intercessor, a friend of God. Moses and the prophets, that's what sets him apart. Are you guys with me? Listen, let's go back to the sons. Number one, if you want to qualify for the restoration of the anointing, it's, say with me, association. Say location. Say number one, dreaming. These sons of the prophets were saying, listen, we're in a small place, but we have an area where we can go and make it big. Are you guys with me? They had a dream. Number three, under that anointing, they were commissioned to go do it, but they were not doing it yet on their own. Elisha said, I'll go with you and watch how you do it. Number five, wherever I'm at, Elisha says, listen, you understand that this anointing is borrowing, that it was not your own. But right now, you've stretched out your hand and pick it up yourself and begin to move in it. Are you guys with me? Wherever you are, just close your eyes. Just raise your hands. Zarana. Zondo. Lavruska taravareke dreta lavandrede. La rondurio zakere. I heard this one thing from the Lord. It's a new season for a fresh anointing. Whatever has been lost, whether it was with other believers 15 years ago, and the anointing has become diminished in the body of Christ, it is time where he's saying, I want my people to begin to pick up the anointing again. begin to pick up their dreams. Begin to pick up their mantle. That fresh oil I want to pour out. So the fresh oil. Go for it to the screen. Look at this. Look at this. Go for me to Psalm 92. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Wherever you are. Stand to your feet. In Psalm 92 verse 12. The righteous shall flourish. No. Verse 10. Sorry. So the fresh oil. Listen, King David is saying here about what happens when we receive fresh oil. He says, my horn, you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed. Say with me, anointed. He says, I have been anointed with fresh oil. Look what happens. Next verse. When fresh oil comes upon me, David is saying, my eye has seen my desire on my enemies. I want you guys to look at this. Say with him, my desire. He's not speaking about destruction only. David is saying, listen here, I have a desire for those who are coming against me. That when my eyes look at them, I was saying to somebody yesterday, two days ago, that when it comes to the anointing, we've been too sissified, if I can say it like that, where you know, we say, let's pray for our families. Let's pray. Let me pray for your families. Let's pray for, I think of enemies in our family. Let's pray for our enemies. Let's bless them. Let's be kind to them. We must be, listen, there's an area where the anointing comes on you. Where if anybody speaks against you, if somebody wants to stop what God is doing, you will see your desire on your enemies. This doesn't mean that we want them to die. But listen, when somebody touches you, they're touching the anointing. They're touching God. Listen. My ears, he says, my eyes have seen my desire, my enemy. When I receive fresh oil, my ear has heard. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. Go to the next verse. The righteous shall flourish. Say with me, a palm tree. When the anointing comes upon you, God will raise you up like a palm tree in the house to stand. It speaks of leadership. It speaks of being exalted and above others. He shall grow you like a cedar in Lebanon. Next verse. Those who are planted. Say with me, planted. This means dwelling. Not those who are moving. Are you guys with me? David is saying those who are planted. Like I said earlier, when God can see that he's seeing you 20 years in a church still, he's going to give you that anointing to build it. Are you guys with me? And the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God, in the house of the Lord, and shall flourish. So they flourish, which means that every person that becomes planted will be fruitful. Flourishing means that people will see how lively they're doing. Then the next verse. They shall flourish in every area. They shall still bear fruit. Say with me, in old age. It doesn't matter if you're 75 and you're getting saved. They will bear fruit. They shall be, say with me, fresh. The word fresh means to be on the cutting edge. They will be fresh. They will be relevant. They'll be on the cutting edge of the anointing. And they'll be flourishing. Next verse. To declare that the Lord is upright, that he is their rock, and no righteousness in him. Say with me, fresh oil. Raise your hands. Raise your hands to the Lord. I want to take up an offering, but I feel I want to first do this. Say, pray this word with me. Say, Heavenly Father, tonight fill my life with fresh oil, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Let oil come upon my life right now. Just keep your hands raised. Just keep your eyes closed. Keep focus upon Him. The anointing must be siphoned out of the atmosphere. Listen, as you're standing like this, in Deuteronomy 32, it says that the Lord is saying that I will make them rise and take them high into the depths and the realms of the earth, which means that I'll take them to the top in the spirit, and there they will suck anointing out of the rock. Are you guys with me? It says there the rock will pour out for them rivers of oil. But the word pour out means to siphon. to pull the anointing. Which means that if when God takes you to the top, whether it's in praise, we have a saying, we say we do high praise, we have high worship. When we say we worship, close your eyes, focus. When God takes you to the top, it is our duty to begin to siphon the anointing, to pull the anointing out. Father, I pray for the anointing to be upon every single person. May tonight, as we pray, may they take and pick up the call of God. May every single person pick up the anointing, pick up what was lost, pick up that which was lost once, pick up that which fell to the ground once, whether it is an anointing, whether it is a dream, whether it is the call of God. May we pick it up, reach out, stretch our hands, and pick it up again. So they say, fill my life right now with the anointing. May the anointing come upon every person.